How's it going, nerds? This is House from your favorite comic book podcast, Nerds Explain It. We wanted to apologize for being a little late on our release date. The episode you're about to listen to is our Luke Cage episode, where we talk about all things Luke Cage, his origin, what he has meant to comic books, and the Netflix series. Again, we're sorry we're a little late on this release date. We had some relocation efforts going on. We moved Jess up from Clearwater, Florida, up here to St. Louis, up to Nerdsplanet HQ. I hope you enjoy the Luke Cage episode. Jess doesn't know what a spoiler is, so just a heads up, there is a bit of a spoiler, a couple spoilers for the first episode of Season 2 of Luke Cage, just a bit of a heads up on that. Hope you guys enjoy listening to it as much as we enjoy putting it together. Keep tuning in, and we'll keep entertaining you. Thanks, guys. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Nerdsplaining, your favorite comic book podcast, a comic book podcast for every level of nerd, where we discuss comics in a way that is easy to digest for newcomers and presents new discussions and information for some comics and more dedicated fans. I, as always, am House, joined by the best-looking co-defendants a person could ask for. I got Wookie with the double E.
Hey.
Dave.
Huh?
Greg.
Hey.
And Jess.
Hi.
This is our ninth episode of the Nerdsplanet podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the Power Man, Luke Cage. Wanted to take a second to thank everybody who's been listening to our previous eight episodes. We've had some really good call-in questions, people using the Nerdsplanet helpline. As always, that number is 805-669-7233. 30 again, 805-669-7230. We really want to thank our fans again for tuning in on all of our episodes, some of the bonus episodes we've had, and enjoying our content. Make sure you go to all of our social medias, the Facebooks, the Twitters, leave us a comment, go to iTunes and leave us a review and a rating on there. Helps us climb the charts a little bit. Before we dive into some Luke Cage, though, like head first into that, let's do some nerd news. Nerd news.
This is nerd news.
So what's everybody been, what have you been doing? Wookie, what have you been up to with nerd stuff lately?
Trying not to cry.
Trying not to cry?
Yeah. Disney may or may not have put a hold on all, like, side Star Wars projects minus Episode 9. Or they may not have, or they may have. They haven't quite clarified yet.
So that's cool.
Well, 9 is not really a side project. That's a saga movie.
Yeah, that's what I said.
The side ones. Star Wars story.
The rumored Boba Fett movie, Obi-Wan movie, may or may not happen. Thanks, Solo.
Right, but like, maybe they learn a lesson that, hey, no one was really asking for a Solo movie. Yeah. And sure, people, I mean, I've heard a lot of fans over the years really want a Boba Fett Star Wars movie. But why? He was in a grand total of, 10 minutes, and he get hit with a baseball bat and falls in a hole.
Yeah, but that helmet?
Right.
Sex appeal.
Sex appeal.
You know what I would want from a Boba Fett origin story, though? You ever see the Nicolas Cage and, oh my God, who's the last Joker?
Jared Leto.
You ever see the Nicolas Cage and Jared Leto film, Lord of War?
Yeah.
That opening title sequence where it shows like a bullet from manufacturing into an active war zone. I want to see that with like a blaster bolt.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, like that should be the intro of it. Just, hey, this is how blaster bolts get made, and then discharge from Boba's rifle, and then put into some Ewok's head.
I would really like it. I mean, if they did a Boba Fett movie, I want the subtitle to not be like a Star Wars story. Be it like Boba Fett, the only clone that worked.
I like that.
Boba Fett finally does something.
Well, and then like the Obi-Wan movie, that was really, didn't most of his story in between Star Wars and the Star Wars movies get covered in like Rebels and the cartoons?
Well, we didn't see what he did for the first 15 years of his life, but from birth to when he met Qui-Gon, because we totally need that filled in.
But again, Ian McGregor,
sex appeal. That's how they're selling it.
He is so good looking.
With that beard, too?
Oh, shit.
Oh, Ewan McGregor.
He looked like Kenny Loggins.
Right, I'm going to need a moment from the Star Wars talk. All right,
Dave, what have you been doing?
Honestly, I have a weird pattern with my comics. I pick up my comics week to week, and then it takes me a couple weeks to get through and finish them. I had a backlog of like a month going because of all my trips to, you know, going to Texas, going to DC, stuff like that. So I had to finally catch up on those. And now I'm still backlogged a couple of weeks. So I'm still catching up on a few things. I've been excited, though, because I've been able to add a couple things to my pull and hold, to my subscriptions for comics, one of which being Marvel has brought back one of the first comic characters I ever read in 1992 named Darkhawk for this Countdown to Infinity that they're doing. They're doing a lot of these like one-shots, but for some reason, he has a four-issue arc in this countdown, so I'm really hoping that brings the character back, because it's a really neat character. Visually, they've redesigned him a few years ago to look just way awesome, and they've kind of kept that up. So that's as a sort of nostalgic, you know, fist bump. That's kind of neat.
Nice.
Other than that, it's been mostly TV shows, movies, gaming. You know, getting through, finally finishing Horizon Zero Dawn, because that took forever with that one. Great game. Trying out some of the new TV series, some of the new comic TV series that have been coming around on the, what is it, socials.
And we're actually going to do a little segment later on about some of those newer comic book shows that Dave watched.
What about...
Greg, what have you been doing?
Yeah.
I've been selectively watching E3, because that went on last weekend, I believe.
I forgot about E3.
So excited for
Ghost of Tsushima.
No, Super there's Smash? Only two games I'm actually excited for. Well, three, what? But my two main ones are Ori and the Will of the Wisps and Spider-Man PS4. I do not have a PS4.
You have to switch now. I knew this was going to happen.
Well, switching is such a strong word.
Co-owner.
Now we've opened ourselves up to the Microsoft Sony debate, so our comment section is gonna
be it's gonna blow up.
The Switch people can go play in the sandbox.
Yeah, right.
For work, I gotta set up a Commodore 64.
Nice.
Didn't work.
Well, no, it's a Commodore 64. Really? It's 2018.
Yeah.
Had the
monitor with it and everything.
So what was Greg? Cool. Other than Spider-Man 4, what was the other game you're looking forward to?
Ori and the Will of the Wisp, Battlefield 5. And Gears of War 5. 5? Yeah.
Yeah, 5.
Well, it's Gears 5, not Gears of War 5.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
So you're a Microsoft guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
He has a fever all the time.
Which is weird, because I've already had 5 Gears of War games. They had the main 3, then Judgment, and 4.
Right.
Really, this is Gears of War 6.
Well, Judgment, I think, was outside. It was like
Isn't Judgment a prequel?
No idea.
No one played it.
I stopped after
3. I'm not going to lie. I didn't play it either, because awesome. I felt like it was, you know.
So, Greg, if it makes you feel better, I'm wanting an Xbox for Halo. So we're both going to have to make.
Oh, speaking of which, audience, so since we're talking about merging multiple consoles in the same household, coexisting, we have a t-shirt for sale.
That on our Facebook awesome page.
Good plug. Damn. Yeah. go buy our shit.
Well, we're over here. We're over here. We just realized we could also do a coexist gamer shirt, so we'll probably get to work on that.
Okay.
Asking gamers to coexist is a lot, because you're always going to have the quote unquote PC master race out there.
Right. Yeah, speaking of E3, real quick, the one thing that I was hoping to see, I was really glad to see some new Last of Us 2 footage.
Yes.
It just looks fantastic. Yeah, that Ghost of Tsushima looks really good.
That does look
good. I'm not the biggest Spider-Man fan in the world, but a bunch of the Spider-Man games have, you know, regularly been good. I think it was Shattered Dimensions was good.
Oh, Shattered Dimensions was awesome.
Yeah, and like the original, like Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2, like movie tie-in games, those were fun.
2 was really good.
So like I'm down to play. I don't know if I'll run out and buy it for $60, but I'll definitely run it. I definitely want to play that one.
Well, nothing I would buy.
Well, in Last of Us 2, can't forget about that.
Yeah,
we got a new trailer for that in the place, and some gameplay,
yeah,
which looks really tight.
Game is that?
Last of Us 2. Last of Us 2 is a post-apocalyptic sort of survival adventure drama. They're not technically zombies. It's actually a very real thing that exists
in nature called cordyceps. It's a fungus that takes over a host body. Yeah, it's disturbing if you actually watch.
This is why I don't leave the house.
Yeah, well, realistically, it thankfully, in our world, we... Oh, sorry, Jess was trying to say something.
Oh, I was just going to tell Greg, when he goes to buy his PlayStation, get one that already has that game on.
Oh, like a bundle?
It's only a $20 game, so it's not the end of the world now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The first one, at least. Yeah, that's a game, like, if you're getting a PlayStation, you have to play it. Like, the story...
Also,
it's going to make you cry.
Spend $2 on a box of tissues. The first 30 minutes are going to rip your heart out.
Yeah. And it's fantastic. It caused me to have a worse drinking problem for a while.
Yeah. That and the Walking Dead season one, like the Telltale game, the ending of that had me bawling.
One thing that didn't get announced that I was really looking forward to was the possible Rocksteady Superman game. Superman is a character who has literally never had a good or great
bullshit
video game. What?
Nintendo 64 Superman.
Get out.
Oh, that was terrible.
Superman Shadow of Apocalypse was serviceable. Though.
Serviceable, but like nothing that we get, like nothing that has ever been, like, it's like Spider-Man's had good games. The Avengers have had good games. Batman obviously has had good games. Correct. Superman has just never. But Rocksteady, the same studio that did the Arkham games, save for Arkham Origins.
Death Return of Superman. That was a good game.
Whichever one, the only one, the one I played the most, or at least tried to, was the one that was just the Superman game for the Sega Genesis. And I could never get past the second level. Pissed me off.
Yeah, those side-scrolling beat-em-ups were a pain.
Yeah,
another one,
so hard.
Another one that Jerry and I talked about from E3 this week was Hideo Kojima's Death Stranding with Norman Reedus, Guillermo del Toro, and Mads Mikkelsen. Yeah. We got a new trailer for that, a little bit of gameplay, and as Jerry and I said, you know, what we learned from this new trailer, new gameplay, is nothing.
At all.
Kojima Hideo Kojima keeps these games so tightly under wraps. Like, there's less known about those by the time they come out than a friggin' Star Wars movie at this point. And Star Wars saga movies are kept well under wraps. Kojima games are the same way. And half the time, it's not going to help you anyway, because there's so many high concepts at play. So they could try to spoil it, but it's just going to leave someone in existential confusion. Anyway.
All right, so Jess, what you been doing nerd-wise?
I've been doing research for, this episode. And last weekend, I binge-watched the entire first season of Luke Cage. I'm kind of mad I didn't watch it sooner. I fell in love with it. And then last night, I finally got around to watching episode one of season two. And oh my gosh, I feel like there's a lot missing. Greg, did you watch the first episode at all yet?
I have not seen the second season.
Like, I don't know if I missed an episode, but things pick up in different places, and I'm not sure what's happened to some of the characters. Like, I don't want to spoil anything, even though it's just the first episode.
So it's very interesting, the artistic direction that they chose for the cover art for Netflix, where he's holding Harlem. It seems like, you know how you had the guy with the globe?
Yeah.
It seemed like that's what they were trying to pull off.
Okay.
So it's interesting, like, what direction they're going to pull for the second season.
I'm interested.
Oh, kind of like an Atlas Shrugged type.
Yeah.
Just Atlas.
Oh, sorry.
Atlas Shrugged is a boring as crap novel that for the benefits of
level.
Oh, yeah.
That was a joke I was aiming for.
I didn't see that.
I don't know why I thought of Atlantis, but...
Is that for the first season or the second season, Greg?
Second season.
Oh, I was going to say, I watched the first four episodes of Luke Cage show. It just wasn't... Oh, that is pretty cool. It wasn't necessarily grabbing me. I don't know why, but... I know Dave finished it and liked most of it.
Yeah, I liked season one. You know, I do... I'm looking at this picture of the season two of him holding up Harlem, and... that really opens itself up to some awkward photoshopping in the future. Just saying.
So, Jess, in all this research that you've been doing about Luke Cage, Mr. Power Man, what is some background info, some entry-level info to the character that you can give the audience today?
Okay, so obviously he's a character in the Marvel Universe. I guess his first appearance was in Luke Cage #1, Hero for Hire, which was in June of 1972. Now. So I was doing some research to figure out, like, why Luke Cage was created. Like, why did Marvel feel the need to add that character to...
Yeah, because it seems like there's always a reason why they introduce characters, right?
Yeah. This Leo one's just... kind of shameful.
Oh.
So in the early 70s, there was a movement in media to... They call it the Blaxploitation era.
Okay.
Where... different characters were being created for movies, TV shows, and comics, where they were pretty much, I mean, they were exploiting black people and usually built-in stereotypes into these characters. So that's where, like, Marvel is just like, let's go for this. Let's create a black character.
Let's get on that Ben mugging, essentially?
Yeah.
But to what degree? I mean, were they doing it to because they saw the potential wrong in what everyone else was doing and let's correct it kind of a thing, or?
I'm not going to make any assumptions on that.
Okay.
But like even the language at times, like as I was trying to read the first issue, there was just some, like even the language was just a little hard for me to follow.
Wow.
So yeah, there's just a lot of stereotypes that were met in that comic. His real name is Carl Lucas. He legally changed his name to Luke Cage after escaping from Seagate.
Okay.
What's Seagate?
It's a prison, but I'll get there. So he's known as Power Man, Mark Lucas, Hero for Hire, Ace of Spades, and a few others, but those are the most common. He was born and raised in Harlem. And I mean, I will say, like, he stood out from other characters because his name, first off, didn't have black in it. Like, you know, Black Panther, Black Lightning, right. Black Goliath, which is one I had never heard of.
I've never heard of that either.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
But that was in the list, so I thought I included it.
I want to say Black Goliath comes from the Ant-Man series.
It does.
Okay. And he charged for his services, which I think was one of those things that kind of met the stereotypes like, of course, no black man would do this out of, you know, good morals. Like, he's got to make money out of it. So, like, there's just stereotypes that are met there. And
okay.
He spent his youth in a gang of the Bloods.
Oh.
Yeah, pretty intense. With his friend Willis Stryker. It got to a point where, you know, he's in and out of homes throughout his teen life. And he just realizes that he's hurting his family and the way that he's living his life. So he decides to be a better person, get a legitimate job, you know, be better in his adulthood. But Stryker decides to continue to climb the ranks in the crime world.
Okay.
But they still remain friends to the point where Stryker, he upsets a pretty big crime organization, is beaten pretty bad in a mob hit, and Luke Cage shows up to save him. Now we get to the part where Luke Cage is now in trouble, even though he's decided to live a better life. Stryker and his girlfriend broke up because she didn't like the crime life that he was living. So after the breakup, she went to Luke Cage. Nothing happened. Mm. He was he was there to comfort her and support her emotionally as she was going through the breakup, but Stryker just immediately went, nope, you're the reason we broke up.
Oh.
So he planted, I believe, heroin in Luke's apartment and then tipped off the police.
That's pretty
Yeah. So he gets arrested.
That's messed up.
Yeah, yep. Pretty messed up.
He goes to jail.
And this is after he saved
him. Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. He's he's been a very good friend to Stryker. And yeah. So Luke is arrested, sent to prison. Okay. The communication between his family and him is sparse. Because
is it at the doing of someone else or just because?
Yes. Oh, his brother, who is resentful of Luke, is intercepting letters, and it eventually leads to Luke and his father believing that the other is dead.
Damn.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
Wow.
So, Luke's in prison, consumed by rage over, you know, Stryker's betrayal, and his father's supposed death.
So is he like digressing back into the old Luke Cage?
Yeah, he's like fighting in jail and trying to escape often.
Okay. Okay.
So he is eventually transferred to Seagate Prison, which is
where they make
off the coast of Georgia. It's on a little island. What'd you say?
Where they make the hard drives. External
hard drives. I get it. That's a clean joke.
Clean joke. Sorry.
I'm gonna allow it. I'm gonna allow it. Some computer nerd humor.
That was subtle. That was nice.
So, while at Seagate, Luke is the target of a sadistic guard named Albert Billy Bob.
Albert Billy Rackham. Bob?
Yeah.
Rackham.
Billy Bob in quotes. who, like, he was super brutal.
Okay.
And that eventually led to a demotion that he blamed Luke for.
What? It seems like the recurring theme is, like, blame Luke Cage for everyone else's problems.
He's a black man, Greg.
Oh. Right. Go on.
So, then enter research scientist Dr. Noah Bernstein.
Okay.
He's got a experiment. It's like cell regeneration, and it's based off of an experiment that
wasn't it similar to what they were trying to what they did with Cap.
He used it to empower Warhawk, but I don't know who that is. And as I tried to do some research on that, are you aware of Warhawk?
Dave, do you know who Warhawk is? No idea. I don't know that one.
No, not ringing a bell.
Okay. I mean, I found some information, but basically what I found is he's a villain, and okay. He's a highly trained assassin.
Okay.
But he got his powers from this scientist. It's a super soldier process, okay. Basically, what they're trying to do.
So Luke Cage wasn't already gifted, and they were doing experiments.
No.
He was gifted after
that. So they recruited him as a volunteer. And I believe it took some time off of his sentence.
Right. I think it was an allegory to at the time when allegedly there were a lot of science experiments being done on prisoners in, you know, not great parts of the country. So it was an allegory of that.
Okay.
And then he comes out of it with indestructible skin and super strength.
Yeah, so the scientist left Luke unattended while this process was going on. He's, like, emerged in this liquid, and there's all these controls. Well, the sadistic guard shows up and messes with the controls and to try to kill Luke. The experiment went past its intent, which gave him powers. I mean, okay. he's now has superhuman strength and durability.
Okay.
So, he uses those powers to bust through the walls of Seagate, swim back to land, okay. And then he heads on back to New York.
Okay.
And at which point, he changes his name from
Carl Lucas
to Luke Cage.
Does he choose the last name Cage because he just broke out of a cage? Is that
well?
Because
despite all his rage, he was still just a Luke in a cage.
Oh, okay. Proud of you! I just knew it was coming. I could feel it in the air, and he hit it.
I don't know what that was.
So he gets to New York, launches a career as a hero for hire.
Okay.
He establishes an office in Times Square, and starts making money off of people who need a hero to do whatever job they need.
Okay.
Now, while taking on some of these jobs, he runs into other superhumans in New York, like the Fantastic Four and Spider-Man and Jessica Jones and multiple others.
Okay.
So
that's where, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then, you know, House, take it.
Awesome. Thank you very much for all that introductory background. I think that'll give people at least a firm base of understanding, okay, where did that character kind of come from? What we want to do now is introduce our, for the first time ever, little mini segment called Jerry's Kid. Jerry, how's your kid?
She's good.
Thanks, Jerry. That was this week in Jerry's Kid. Please tune in for our next episode to find out if Jerry's Kid is still good. So real quick, I think we're gonna move on. So as Jess left it off there, that Luke Cage is yet another one of the multitude of superheroes that operates out of the five boroughs in New York City. He's had a lot of team ups with a lot of different heroes. Dave, I know you know more about Daredevil, the man without fear, than anyone has ever could possibly know. And in the Netflix series of Defenders, we saw Luke Cage and Daredevil kind of team up. What have their, that you, as far as you know, what are some of their, what has their interactions been like in the comics?
Luke Cage and Daredevil and Iron Fist and Moon Knight and Spider-Man and sometimes Ghost Rider all occupy a sort of what's considered street level group of Marvel heroes. They mostly just kind of stick to their independent sections of New York City. They rarely venture out on the big international or cosmic missions, anything like that. So over the years, Luke and Matt have had many, many run-ins, and I've never, that I can recall, seen one where both of them in their right minds have come to blows. They've just, at this point, they've been working together for so friggin' long that it's just like, you know, if they wind up in the middle of a fight and they notice one another, Luke, Matt, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? They just start talking, because Luke is typically a pretty level-headed guy, unless you mess with his wife or his daughter, and Matt's a typically pretty level-headed guy, unless you murder one of his girlfriends, and usually Luke's not going to do that. That's Bullseye's job.
Right. So. I gotcha. Now, Luke has been a part of, you know, Jess mentioned he's got the Hero for Hire business. I think his primary team-up has been with Iron Fist, correct?
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. You mentioned Jess.
She brought that up.
Yeah, Heroes for Hire is usually Danny and Luke, which they've had. They've been together, they've been apart, they've been together, they've been apart, back and forth. It's usually more that they're victims of circumstance than anything else, than they're victims of each other. They recently brought back Luke Cage and Danny Rand about a year or two ago, and they just titled it Power Man and Iron Fist, even though Luke hasn't gone by Power Man in a very long time. There's been a new guy running around calling himself Power Man in a suit ever since the Shadowland stuff in 2009. Actually, they may have just called it Luke Cage and Iron Fist, but it was another instance where the situation just threw them together, and Danny was all excited about getting the team back together, but Luke was very insistent that no, that wasn't going to happen, and the events of those comics were just sort of a one-off. And it was interesting because that comic came out right around the same time that first season of Luke Cage, first season of Iron Fist, and eventually first season of Defenders came out. And the main villainess from season one of Luke Cage is actually in there. But you realize looking at the comic, there's a massive difference between Mariah in the comic versus Mariah in the show.
Does she have antlers?
No. First of all, she's called Black Mariah because I guess that's what happens when white people write comics.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And then, but yeah, they literally just name her Black Mariah. And she's she mostly just walks around in a tracksuit and is very, very hefty.
That's so
she's
her corpulent. Name she's in very the, corpulent. In the comic?
Black Mariah, yep.
And I know they referenced that at least once in the show.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand why. Like, he called her Black Mariah, and it was, like, one of the only times he said it. And I was like, yeah. What was that about?
Yeah. Black Mariah is mostly just a hefty, you know, street gang leader in a tracksuit. She's not this, you know, poised political figure or anything.
Right now, I'm
so
just thinking of the lady from the Mario Brothers movie in the red track.
That's who I'm
thinking. Very corpulent.
Wasn't that supposed to be Birdo?
That was
a Mario movie?
I don't think that was supposed to be Birdo. I mean, if that was supposed to be Birdo, what the hell?
That whole movie is what the hell, though.
Yeah. All the Birdos in the Mario games are female.
Yeah, I knew that. No, I didn't. I just made that up. I knew something. Son of a bitch. So I have one last question, Dave, about his like team ups and stuff like that. So primarily, you know, like most heroes, he works with other heroes. Mm-hmm. Now, as I understand it, because I didn't read this, but I think you were telling me about it, was he was actually running the Thunderbolts for a while.
Yes.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, Thunderbolts is a Suicide Squad-ish type of team up where it's mainly villains who are brought in to do dirty jobs for the military or for the government that they don't want the supers are done for.
Yes, but that's not how they started.
Oh, okay.
The Thunderbolts came around as a con by Baron Zemo after Onslaught murdered most of the heroes of the Marvel Universe. And this was during the Heroes Reborn event. And they were all in disguise, so nobody knew it was Baron Zemo. As far as they knew, it was this guy, Citizen V. It could also be Citizen 5, but I'm pretty sure it's Citizen V, because I think they reference that all the time. And that was back when it was, Thunderbolts, justice like lightning. Well, eventually the heroes came back and they were exposed, and then the Thunderbolts program just kind of went under, became sort of what we would compare to the Suicide Squad. They're a group of villains, usually pretty differently powered, just for, maximum flexibility, that are being offered a reduction in their prison sentence. So most of them are multiple lifers, or their death sentence. They're being offered less life sentences or just life sentences instead of death. At the risk of their spines being massively electrified and killing them.
Or crossing paths with
Bullseye. Okay, so there was a contingency plan. Okay, I was wondering.
Yeah. And it's very dependent on the leader. What's up, Jerry?
Was Frank Castle in Luke Cage's Thunderbolts, or is he later?
Frank Castle was a later one.
Okay.
Luke Cage's Thunderbolts. So what happened was, after a while, Norman Osborn was a member of the Thunderbolts and the leader. Norman Osborn is the Green Goblin. Norman Osborn is such the Green Goblin that that is an alternate personality in Norman Osborn's head because he's completely insane.
I love him.
Once upon a time, in about 2008, I think it was, a race of alien shapeshifters called the Skrulls invaded the Earth. I really hope there's people that tune in right now and think I'm just telling a story about something that happened on Earth as opposed to in comics. But no, the shapeshifting Skrulls came in, and it was revealed that they had been switching out certain heroes and villains with Skrull impersonators. And so then they led this huge thing. It was called the Secret Invasion. And they figured out how to take the Skrulls down by killing their queen. Norman Osborn intercepted that information and made the kill himself, which made him a huge hero to the planet Earth. And he was put in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh.
Nick Cage was ousted and declared public enemy number one.
Nick Cage?
Nick Fury, whatever.
Thank you.
Nick Cage also. Yeah, Nick Fury.
Get Nick Cage out of here. What is he doing?
He's everywhere, official. Guys. Everywhere.
Hey, he won an Oscar. A lot of shit's happened since then, but he won an Oscar. So, Nick Fury is ousted, put his public enemy number one. Norman Osborn becomes the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. He renames it Hammer. And he creates his... He also outlaws most of the Avengers.
Yep.
And creates his own set that was called the Dark Avengers. Not to the public, because how obvious is that? You're going to be these are the Dark Avengers! Question about the name. Fuck off.
We will not accept questions right now.
That's when he turns into Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Look, I know you have trouble understanding given short sentences. And then says she's nice to everyone. So eventually, a villain in that kind of role can't last that long. There's hope. Vote. The views expressed by me are not necessarily the views expressed or shared by all of Nerdsplaining. I am personally responsible for any comments I make of a political or socioeconomic nature. You're all saved. By Jesus.
Wow!
The views expressed by Jerry concerning religion are not necessarily the views of Nerdsplaining as a whole. Views expressed by Jerry containing religion, politics, or socioeconomics are his own, and he can deal with them himself. So anyway, a villain in that role of leader of S.H.I.E.L.D. can't last long. So eventually Norman goes way overboard, he gets ousted,
and the heroes sort of come back, and this is what Marvel called the heroic age. And Captain America becomes the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. And he puts Luke in charge of the Thunderbolts, which is odd. Luke doesn't quite understand, and Cap tells him, well, you know, if there's anybody who really should understand second chances, it's you, which is a great point. The Thunderbolts, you know, so Luke has to go to where the Thunderbolts operate out of their home base, which is called the Raft, which if you saw Captain America Civil War, you remember the Raft. That was that prison that they built in the middle of the ocean. That's the Thunderbolts HQ. The team that Luke Cage gets is interesting. So he gets a woman named Songbird. He used to be known as Screaming Mimi. She makes hard constructs out of sound using her vocal cords.
Oh.
Mach 5.
Kind of like a Black Bolt?
No. Black Bolt is just just
he's kind of like energy. A Green Lantern, but with sound.
Yeah. Well, Songbird is like a Green Lantern with sound. Then there's Mach 5, who's basically like a villainous Iron Man, because there's not enough of those in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
Moonstone, Dr. Carla Sofen, who, the reason she's called Moonstone is she has two very powerful gems called the Moonstones. And she's basically the same power as when Carol Danvers was Captain Marvel.
Hmm.
Flight, strength, and she's also a licensed psychiatrist, so she loves playing mind games. Then as you go on, you get into some of the really the other interesting ones, like Man-Thing, who is if you know what Swamp Thing looks like, you got Man-Thing, you know.
Which came first?
Swamp Thing did. Chicken.
Swamp Thing did.
Swamp Thing, however, never had an issue called Giant-Sized Man-Thing, where nobody in the editing process ever looked at it.
That's awesome.
How do you release a comic called Giant-Sized Man-Thing, and no one goes... Question about the title. Are we married to the giant-sized man thing?
I wish it was married.
Man-Thing mostly acts as their transportation. He gets them in and out of... Yeah, Man-Thing opens portals that allow them to go different places.
That's really cool.
Then there's Ghost, who we're about to see in Ant-Man and Wasp, or who we've already seen in Ant-Man and Wasp, depending on when this is released. This is the male Ghost, though. Ghost is always handy to have around if you can kind of keep a hold on him. Juggernaut is on the team.
Oh.
Because, you know, with Luke, they didn't have enough muscle. I don't know. Juggernaut? What's that?
The X-Men Juggernaut?
Yeah.
The Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. Yeah.
I'm the Juggernaut bitch.
That Juggernaut.
Yes. Satana. Satana's on the team. Satana is the daughter of Satan. And
she
then
sounds hot.
The Captain America villain.
I see what you did there.
Then you got the Captain America villain Crossbones, who never really reforms. Like, he goes rogue first opportunity.
And full-blown racist.
Yes, full-blown racist. I put that on, I think I put that on the Nerd's Planet page or something like that.
Yeah.
There's a conversation between Crossbones and, like, Moonstone, where he says something. She goes, oh, I forgot. When you're not crazy, you're totally racist.
Mm-hmm.
And then other than that, there's the Shocker, which is not to say the Shocker is the Spider-Man villain. Mr. Hyde, if you know Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you get it. And then temporarily, for a quick period, Iron Fist was in there as well.
So so him running an organization like that, they were still doing the same, the similar things that the Thunderbolts had always done, but now it was okay, they had a good guy in charge, and hopefully that would corral the villains better.
Yeah, they had a good guy who had a criminal history, but managed to get reformed. I mean, ultimately, it didn't work out because it never does.
Right.
I mean, they end up having to switch out that Thunderbolts roster every so often.
Right.
After Luke Cage was the General Ross Thunderbolts.
Oh, that's one
which
Frank.
Was Elektra and Deadpool and Frank Castle.
Just a bunch of
the
murderers.
Red Hulk.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Just a hit squad.
Now, how did Luke Cage and Juggernaut get along? Do they ever go at it?
Not really.
I mean, depends how many drinks he had.
Not really. I think it's pretty widely accepted that while Luke Cage is bulletproof and he is very strong, Juggernaut is a lot harder for Luke to deal with.
Okay.
It'd be like Luke squaring off against the Hulk.
Oh, okay.
He may not get that hurt, but it's not a whole lot he can do to his opponent.
He could just say, stop it.
Like, his skin is really tough. The Incredible Hulk's big toe going into a human anus, that's on the inside of the skin, and that's where the damage happens.
Oh, my God.
That's an image from my head
That's how you get athlete's ass.
And ingrown toenails.
Yeah.
Can you get hangnails on your toenails?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, imagine that.
That getting just scraped off up in there.
That's right. Yeah.
So, Jared, real quick, do you have any updates on, like, stuff that Luke Cage has been doing in, like, the past, like, couple of years?
He's done a lot of cameo stuff. He does have a few ongoing, which is Luke Cage, ongoing of Defenders again, and that lineup is very much just the Netflix Defenders.
Oh, okay.
But he does a lot of cameo work, so he appears in The Punisher recently, when Frank Castle steals the War Machine armor, he makes the mistake of going by New York City, and the Defenders try to stop him. In Civil War
II, I like how you say try. I'm guessing it didn't go well.
No, it's Frank Castle. All right. Civil War II, he makes an appearance. In the first Civil War, he very much sides with Cap about, you know, heroes shouldn't register. Civil War II has a completely different storyline.
He sided on which side?
On
Cap's
side. Yeah, he didn't want people to register.
Yeah. So he goes to fight for Cap.
From the guy who just kind of does it as...
But that's his choice.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's his choice to come out and say, no, I'm Luke Cage. Fight me, yo.
It's an identity, not a choice.
Yeah. But he doesn't want people to feel forced to come out and say that.
Okay.
He makes that choice himself. In Civil War II, there's a Inhuman can predict the future, and the Avengers want to use them or use the Inhuman to help stop future crimes. And the other side is like, no, you can't do that. And Luke Cage is like, I'm not getting involved. I'm going to hang back with Iron Fist.
Well, but, and the reason that they're saying, no, you can't do that is because they're trying to stop the crimes before they happen. And the crux of that argument is that if you arrest someone before they've done something from a shaky vision that someone has, you're arresting an innocent person who hasn't committed a crime.
It's like,
whereas the other side's going, oh, well, we can prevent the crimes, you know, if we do it.
Yeah.
Well, at least Minority Report has the advantage of having the
Tom Cruise.
No, all three of them. It's the triplets, you know, so... They it's usually, I think they go off a 2 out of 3 and then they discard the Minority Report.
Yeah.
But otherwise, all three of them have to get a vision before they act on it.
Yeah.
This one, it was just the one person. Who was it? Not Karnak. Oh my God.
Ulysses Kane.
Yes, Ulysses. That's what it was. Yeah, that was a, I think that was a weaker reason to have another Civil War event.
Yeah.
But you mentioned the Defenders series and how it's just like the Netflix cast. I've noticed that a lot with Marvel over the past several years. Their comics more or less reflect what their current other media is, as opposed to what the characters historically have been.
Which,
I don't know if I've necessarily liked. I think it's one of the reasons that I don't think Marvel has been as good in recent years as DC has been.
Well, it makes it easier for people to get into it, because if their only experience is Netflix and the movies, they're like, oh shit, it's a comic book, I know who all these guys are.
Less of a shake up.
Less shocking.
There's some sense to that.
It's that soft rice stuff that they give to children,
like,
and
Joe,
old people.
Joe.
Yeah. Jesus.
But yeah, so Luke Cage just pops up in issues here or there. He's in the new Venomized Elseworlds type story.
Right,
where,
so he doesn't have his own current title.
It's Luke Cage. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's still going on. I don't know if Defenders is still going on, because that's Brian Michael Bendis, and he's now at DC.
Right? No, it wouldn't. Well,
so I assume I assume there's a writer change happening, or it's canceled. I'm not quite sure. But yeah, so he just pops up in a lot of stuff as a minor. Hey, you're in New York City. I'm going to say hi to you.
Okay. So that's a lot of Luke Cage right there. I think we're going to step for a second and go to another segment called Dave's Divulging Dialect. I got nothing for the name of this one. Screw it. No, Dave has been checking out some of the other or different superhero shows or comic book based TV shows that have come out. I've got a couple of them, but he's watched a few more than I have. I know he checked out the pilot, you know, the first episode for Preacher. I know we watched that. He did Legion. He did, what was the X-Men one?
So yeah, I've gone through and I've just checked out the pilot episodes of a lot of shows that I've missed over the past couple of years. Preacher, Runaways, Legion, Gifted, couple of others. To start with, I'd probably say I'll talk about Legion a little bit because I think I've watched more episodes of that than I have the other ones. That came heavily recommended by my brother and sister-in-law who just love that show. Legion's interesting. It's on FX or FXX, whichever. But you can also find it on Hulu, which is what I've been watching it on. It follows a Marvel character who's actually been an X-Men named Legion. How about that? The character in the comics is really interesting. Because the character in the comics has dissociative identity disorder, formerly known as multiple personality disorder. And each of Legion's separate personalities has a different mutant power, ranging from stuff that could barely harm a fly to what's considered beyond Omega level powers. In Marvel Comics, beyond Omega level powers is stuff that is... that could is a level of power that could potentially threaten the multiverse.
Yeah, because in the looking up, I saw like stuff that there were several of his identities that have reality altering powers. Like one of he went up against somebody who had the equivalent of one of the Infinity Stones, like the Reality mm-hmm. Stone, being able to use that, and their ability to manipulate the universe superseded that.
Right.
So, yeah.
So this makes me think of Split in a way. Mm.
Yes. Yeah. He's not a villain, though. He's just a very fractured hero.
Okay.
Oh my god, what was it? No, Philly, that was...
No, no, that was... No, Philly, that was Patwitha.
That was Patwitha. Yeah, yeah, no, you're thinking of Patwitha.
Oh my God. I think you might be pregnant. Was that a reference to the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I have never seen the movie, and I just freaked out just now because I was like, "What is wrong with the guys?" Like, it kind of freaked me out just now.
You need to see that movie because it is fantastic. Oh,
okay. But no, then the TV series takes a little bit different direction from what I've seen so far, and I'm not very far in. But they make him more of a schizoid or a schizophrenic personality disorder or schizophrenic disorder more than anything. You don't get any hint of necessarily different, separate dissociative identities, anything like that. Okay. The first episode is...
It's an acid trip.
It's a mind fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even... Like, an acid trip I can... Like, an acid trip of a first episode I can deal with. The first episode of Legion gets a little bit hard to follow because it bounces between what's real, what's going on in his heads, and you as the viewer don't really know.
Right.
That throttle gets eased off of by the second episode, though, and it's much more clear what's actually happening versus what he thinks is happening. And there are very interesting relationships in it. The acting is very, very well done, and it does have, as an FX or an FXX show, it gets to play around a bit more with brutality.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
So some of the stuff that happens is a little bit more visceral than you would catch on, you know, like an Arrowverse TV show.
Okay.
But so far, so good. I've been I've been enjoying it. Like I say, it came on the recommendation of my brother who watches like all of them.
Nice. So then we're gonna do that where once per episode. Talk about some of these less than mainstream superhero shows and aren't getting talked about as much.
Next up, The Secret of Isis from the 1970s.
That's a working title for that segment. We should open that up for listeners to make suggestions if they'd like.
I'm totally down because whatever I threw up out of my mouth just didn't make any sense. They're not all winners. They're just not.
I mean, I appreciate how you tried to go for alliteration.
I did.
The way comics do with their characters.
I hate alliteration, too.
Yeah.
I failed.
Maybe next time go for end rhyme.
Yeah,
Dave's faves.
I failed this podcast.
Boom.
Just
off the top of my head, I came up with it.
Before we finish up, we want to talk, since we just got into talking about some of the other TV shows that are out there, we want to spend a couple minutes just talking about the Netflix series how we kind of each felt about it, some of the messages that that show has tried to send that some other shows really may or may not be brave enough to do so. Like I said earlier, I've only watched the first like four episodes. I don't know what wasn't necessarily grabbing me about it. I loved Daredevil. It took me till the very last episode to necessarily get into Jessica Jones because of its whole neo-noir type thing. But Luke Cage, I don't know what wasn't grabbing me, but I did. I got about four episodes into
racism.
Black people. I got freckles.
What do freckles have to do with this?
Literally nothing.
That's the part you're bothered by. Not the fact that because he couldn't enjoy Luke Cage, I called him racist.
There's probably people correct on both sides, many sides.
You know, it sounds like it's a recurring theme with like Netflix shows when it comes to like the Marvel shows. Like they're very slow, but once they start, like once that click or switch happens, the show is like fantastic, except for
Iron Fist and Defenders.
Iron Fist. Yeah, one was... I finished it just because I devoted so much time into it already that I was like, you know what, I'm going to just finish it.
I'll be honest, I got hooked on Luke Cage pretty early on because I find him extremely attractive.
Is it the bald head? He's a good-looking man. There's no way around that.
Yeah.
Just when do you meet Shades? Oh, wait, you already have.
So what have you guys thought more about it than necessarily me, because I didn't watch it much.
So overall, I was a big fan of the show. Like I loved Daredevil, which was pretty much bound to happen because I'm such a huge Daredevil fan. I really liked Jessica Jones. I actually thought that I enjoyed the first season of Daredevil better than the first season of Jessica Jones, but I felt like Jessica Jones was a better series. First season of Jessica Jones was better, despite me enjoying Daredevil more. It's the Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi thing. Some people like Return. I know a lot of people who like Return of the Jedi more, but they recognize Empire's a better flick. Luke Cage, I didn't know what to expect going in. I thought the overall tone of Luke Cage, I really liked. I think the first season had a lot of heart, and I really appreciated that. I liked... It got to a point there where some of the tie-ins felt a little forced. Some of the tie-ins between the other series felt a little bit forced, but not too bad. I mean, overall, it was better than Iron Fist. It was better than Defenders. I'll get around to watching the second season. I still need to finish the second season of Jessica Jones. I suffered a complete burnout on a lot of the superhero TV shows, but just from hearing people talk about them so damn much to the advertisements taking up all the space in my feed and Facebook, I just cracked. Like, I haven't watched an Arrowverse show in 2 years because I just got burnt out. So it's taking me so much longer to get through stuff like Jessica Jones season 2, and it'll probably take me a bit to get through Luke Cage season 2.
So Jess, what did you like about it? Since you're fresh off of it, what is something you picked up?
Fresh out. It's Luke Cage. Fresh out.
So, like, one of my favorite callbacks in this first season is the original costume. Because it's so cheesy and it's so god-awful that, like, there's no way.
Oh, that's right.
He's got the tiara and the arm bracelet.
He had the tiara?
Yeah. So, he, after the experiment... like he breaks out, but these are like restraints that were part of the thing. So like he's got the tiara on, he's got the arm bracelets on, and as he breaks out and swims back to shore in Georgia, he runs up to a clothesline and grabs the yellow shirt and a pair of jeans. And he is like
straight up
like half button shirt, like he is Luke Cage from issue number one. And it's funny because like he walks up to this car and he sees his reflection and he's like, "What the fuck? I'm wearing a tiara." And he takes it off. Like they make a nod to the original costume, but then like as soon as he sees it, he's like, "This is ridiculous."
Nice.
They did the same thing in the first X-Men movie, the first Bryan Singer one.
Oh yeah, would you
people go out in this? Would you prefer yellow spandex?
Yeah.
One thing we didn't cover. Anybody else know what Luke Cage's catchphrase is?
No.
It's in the show a million times.
Once. Oh, is it? It's in the show once.
Sweet Christmas?
Sweet Christmas.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, sweet Christmas.
Yep.
Yeah, because then his lover.
I've tried to use it. I can't pull it off.
Say it once or twice. Once.
I don't know because okay, so I'm not gonna spoil anything because like literally I've only seen the first episode of season two, but like his dad shows up.
Yeah.
And
spoiler. I'm not gonna spoil anything, but maybe
it's like he's literally the first person on screen when you start the episode.
Oh, okay.
But like. Luke looks at him when he runs into him and
potential spoiler number two.
Yeah. All right. We'll just call this potential spoiler. I don't feel like it's that bad because it's literally episode one.
That
but
I haven't seen yet.
Okay, fine. But he whatever. He looks at his dad and he says, bullshit. And his dad gets really upset because you know he's a minister. And he's like, what do you prefer I say sweet Christmas?
Right.
And he looks at him and he stops for a second. He goes, actually, yes. So there's something there, and I'm not sure.
I think that the nurse chick that he slept with, I think she said it during Iron Fist. She's because I remember her saying it.
He was saying it before that, though. So I think
I'm saying that she, but she also she picked it up from Luke Cage. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. But I'm like wondering, like now, like because there was that interaction with his dad, like, right. Is it something that his mom used to say or, you know, whatever. So we'll see where that comes from. I hope they cover that. But okay, so I want to make sure we hit some other points here. Are you aware of why Luke Cage wears the hoodie in the show?
No.
Okay. So this is really cool. They incorporated the hoodie. It was supposed to be something else. And I think it was like originally what he was going to be wearing was more of a callback to the original costume. I think honestly it was supposed to be a yellow hoodie.
Okay.
But they decided to make it a nod to Trayvon Martin.
Oh.
And he wears the hoodie and puts the hood up and, you know, and I've really been trying to watch when he puts that hood up. What does that mean in the show? Like, I think there's a lot more to it than just.
Oh, because wasn't it the same hoodie that he got shot in? Like in the show, like he was like, because there was bullet holes and stuff.
Yeah,
and then like a lot of other people are running around town wearing hoodies that have a bunch of holes in them. And it was the director who straight up said, yep, we're doing this as they did it as a nod to Trayvon Martin.
Wow. Yeah, and a few others that have been shot and killed just because they were wearing a hoodie.
So then that kind of brings up the question of social impact of the show. Like,
There's a ton. Wow. I mean, there's a lot because, okay, so there's that. And there's, I mean, I would suggest looking into that because some of the quotes from Mike Coulter, who plays Luke Cage, like, it's really
embedded, like,
yeah, like it, like when I, as I was reading these interviews, I was like, wow, this is awesome. So I would suggest looking into that more. But yeah, like there's different references to real life Black heroes, and they don't stick with, you know, the standard civil rights leaders that we know of, like Martin Luther King Jr. and Rosa Parks. Right. Like they mention Crispus Attucks, and
who?
Okay, I'm glad because I felt like a complete asshole not knowing who this was, but they reference it
Crispus
multiple
Attucks,
times.
You mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had no idea who he was. And I hit pause when I realized this was an important name for some reason, and I did the research. And he's widely considered the first American killed in the Revolutionary War.
Oh.
And there's more to that, but like... That's a pretty big deal.
So there's a lot of deep-rooted, I guess, not really historical, but like just nods to past and present.
Yeah, and if you're watching the show, you're catching them, and I'm learning.
So essentially, how comic books were back in the 70s or whatever, where they were dealing with then social issues, now new platform, new show. Yeah, he was introduced then, but they're using this platform now to. Kind of give shout outs to what's going on in with you know, society today, kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And I'm excited to see what else goes on in season two.
Okay.
I did see like first episode, season two. I don't think this is a spoiler, but let's put it out there because apparently I don't know what I'm spoiling.
Don't worry, Jerry will teach you. And then Dave will argue it.
It's starting to look like, so the barbershop got destroyed multiple times in season one. And insurance is now through the roof.
Okay.
And the landlord's like doubled rent. So this gets brought up like pretty early in the first episode, and you can kind of see where like other people are trying to point him in the direction of like hero for hire. Like, you need to start charging for your services because we can't keep this shop if you don't. And everybody knows this is your home base. So, and I'm wondering if that, instead of like in the comics, he had his office that he established in Times Square. I'm wondering if in the show they just want to keep things in Harlem and focus on Harlem. So the barbershop then becomes the office.
I can see that. It's really expensive to shoot in Manhattan.
They did mention in the first episode or the first season that they're pretty sure this isn't meant to be a barbershop anymore because it just keeps getting destroyed.
Right.
So
okay.
That's pretty awesome. So I think we have very thoroughly covered Luke Cage. For a character that the five of us don't actually, you know, none of us really read a lot of regular Luke Cage. I think we covered a lot. Please, listeners, go to our social medias, comment on the episode. Let us know what you thought. If you've got any further questions, give us a call at the NerdSplanet helpline, 805-669-7230. Again, hit us up on the Facebook, the Twitter. We got the Instagram account where we're starting to show off some of our pets. We had our cat Snow up there, Wookie, that's two E's, his dog Bella up there. And I think we got a few more coming, so that's going to be exciting. We'll keep posting just adorable pictures of those animals reading comic books.
My photos of my trouser snake are on another site.
That's Nerd Hub. We do want to take a second to welcome another member of our team, Kat. She's handling a lot of our social media posts. She's going to be developing our YouTube channel, doing a lot of stuff there that eventually we're going to start throwing some stuff up there. That's the stuff she's doing. So far, she's been doing a great job. We're happy to have her along. She's got some expertise that none of us have, so it's making us a little more well-rounded so we can present the show and our product the way we want to. Real quick, let's end the show with some reading recommendations. Dave, go.
The Constitution.
Constitution.
Let's see. What are we talking? We talked about Luke Cage. Yeah, check out the Luke Cage Thunderbolts run from the Heroic Age. Good stuff.
Gary,
check out the other Thunderbolts run with Frank Castle and Electro hooking up.
There you go. I'm gonna give you a current one. It's that new Brian Michael Bendis, the Man of Steel runs about three or four issues in. It's a weekly series. It has been fantastic.
He gets his red undies in that.
He does. Get them back. Hashtag red panties. It's been great quality issues. I'm really excited to see where they go with it. Greg Jess.
Spider-Man PS4.
So play that game in 8 months when it comes out.
Read the entire EULA on that.
Right.
They've updated their privacy policy.
And Josh, you got anything? Obviously, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse coming out this
December. I don't have any reading recommendations for this week. I've been a little busy.
We got a game recommendation, right? Spider-Man PS4.
I'm sure Jess will actually be able to start recommending more comics here in about 2 weeks.
Yep.
Her access to them might change a little bit. So, all right. Thanks, everybody. This has been another episode of Nerdsplain It. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
None of us have the clap.
Back. I don't know if I know how, but I'll give it a shot.
Like, that was fine.
That was a schnuz.
Oh, that's right.
That's an SH. So don't s with it.
Just. Don't think about it too much. Just ignore me.
Fucking thanks. How's it going, nerds? This is House from your favorite comic book podcast. Why are you now you're fucking laughing?
I just said the yeses. And you go, this is House.
Eat you a little bit right now. Right, stop laughing so I can do this. Hold your breath. I knew you couldn't do it, so I didn't start. Here we go.
Oh my god.
How's it going, nerd? This is House. Now it's all I'm thinking about. We have to hurry. Dave's hungry.
Okay. Dave, we really should have never reconsidered this roommate thing. Fuck this bitch.
How's it going, nerds? This is House from your favorite comic book podcast, Nerds. Explain it. You're fucking laughing now.
I'm gonna go.
Get out.
You can check this.
Cackling hyena. How's it going, nerds? This is House. Your fucking balls and I hate it. I just fucking hate it so much.